words and the images from the Unite the Right rally chill us to the bone. It is clear that Jews are one of the many targets of these rising waves of hatred. And this is not surprising. Jewishness as other has long been bound up with social constructions of race and racialized oppression. Some Jewish people experience white skin privilege, some do not. White supremacy culture and anti-Semitism are bound up together and must be challenged together. As Unitarian Universalists do this important work, it is important to note that Jewish people are not only members of other communities which neighbor our UU congregations, there are Jewish-identified folks in the pulpits and pews of many of our UU congregations. And some may be feeling acute emotional and psychological impacts from the rising anti-Semitic actions and rhetoric in the country. Dear ones, the letter continues. As we together challenge the hatred made explicit in Charlottesville, we feel that it is critically important to be recognizing all those under attack. Many are being targeted right now, including people of color, undocumented folks, LGBTQ folks, Muslims, Jews, persons experiencing disabilities, and women. We do not want to displace anyone who is vulnerable, and we write this with deep commitment to collective liberation. In this spirit, we ask you, we call on you, to notice and name anti-Semitism as well as other oppressions that are present. We hope that this letter will open many conversations with UU groups and individuals so that we can work together to counter intersecting forces of oppression and persecution wherever we find them. Together, may we speak out against the multiple expressions of hatred that threaten to divide us. Faithfully, this was signed by 25 UU ministers and a rabbi who serves a UU congregation. So, the Unitarian Universalists for Jewish Awareness, UUJA.org. It's a great website with a lot of resources for understanding this better. Now, this is Eric K. Ward. He is a longtime activist and scholar and musician and was formerly the Gender, Racial, and Ethnic Justice Program Officer at the Ford Foundation. And now he is a senior fellow at the Southern Poverty Law Center. He recently published a compelling article called Skin in the Game, How Anti-Semitism Animates White Nationalism. He's been studying white nationalists since 1990, and here's a definition. American white nationalism, which emerged in the wake of the 1960s civil rights struggle and descends from white supremacism, is a revolutionary social movement committed to building a whites-only nation, and anti-Semitism forms its theoretical core. So let me say that again. Anti-Semitism forms the theoretical core of white nationalism, according to Eric Ward. He believes that within social and economic justice movements committed to equality, we have not yet collectively come to terms with the centrality of anti-Semitism to white nationalist theology. And until we do, we will fail to understand this virulent form of racism rapidly growing in the United States today. And he believes that anti-Semitism is a particular and potent form of racism so central to white supremacy that black people cannot win their freedom without tearing it down. He believes black people cannot win their own freedom without tearing down anti-Semitism. I'm not going to go into his whole theoretical argument. It is compelling. I'm happy to send you the article if you'd like. My Jewish friends already know this. I didn't know it until recently, until Charlottesville. Now, the irony of me here in the pulpit and in the midst of the Jewish High Holy Days and having planned 2 months ago to preach about the Billings, Montana story, that beautiful story of how that town rose up. The irony is that at the beginning of September 2017, here in Lafayette, a swastika was carved onto the door, the apartment door of a Jewish couple. There's a picture on the phone. So that is the swastika that was carved on one day. It was painted over, and they came back and did it the second day, carved it in a second time. I feel outrage for this couple and such sadness for all of us, for these ugly times, for the increase in hate crimes that have been unleashed by this administration, by white supremacists and white nationalists at the highest level of government. And I'm sad, perhaps, that we missed a chance here. I had already planned to preach about Billings, and then here it is right in our backyard this month. Now, this couple is private. They have been reached out to, and they're private. They didn't want anything big in public. And I know that you, each one of you in this congregation, you do so much. So for the wider world, to try and build bridges, to try and build understanding, and work to build that more beautiful world that we all know is possible. So I do not want to engender any kind of guilt or shame that Lafayette didn't rise up like Billings, Montana did. We can each only do so much, and it is so important that we take care of ourselves so that we can stay in for the long haul. We need to build sustainable lives where our spirits are nourished so that we have the strength and endurance to stay in it, to stay in this work. So I want to come back to the Jewish High Holy Days and these days in between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, these days for a spiritual practice of self-awareness and right relationship, a ritual to begin the new year. So what is your spiritual practice of right relationship? At a workshop this weekend, it was attended by a good group here from Boulder Valley and almost 100 folks from around the Front Range. Our UUA Pacific Western Region consultant, the Reverend Dr. Jennifer Kwong, reminded us of the four aspects of spiritual practice: intention, attention, repetition, and accountability. So what would it be like for you as a Unitarian Universalist, for us as a congregation, for us as a faith, to have a yearly practice of amending our relationships, doing all we can do to come back into covenant with those in our lives? I come back to Marcia Falk's poem for the Jewish New Year. Casting away. We cast into the depths of the sea our sins and failures and regrets. Reflections of our imperfect selves flow away. What can we bear? With what can we bear to part? We upturn the darkness, bring what is buried to light. What hurts still lodge? What wounds have yet to heal? We empty our hands, release the remnants of shame. We let go fear and despair that have dug their home in us. Open hands, opening hearts. The year flows out, and the year flows in. So I invite you to this practice of self-reflection and awareness and of taking constructive and mindful action towards mending relationships. So is there an estrangement in your life that you've been waiting for the right time? Maybe now is the time. I am wishing for you in these days an ease of heart, and the grace of clarity, and the courage of action. Peace, my friends. Peace. Salam. Shalom.